You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, muchachitos, joveni, jovenes. This is A. Gregory Luna, or as they say in my language, A. Gregorio Luna. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing great on this All Saints Day. As a good Catholic, All Saints Day is a day that we revere and give homage and props to all the saints that came before us, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Francis, and all these other people. And then tomorrow is All Souls Day. In Latin America, we call it Dia de los Muertos. And that's where we just give honor to all souls, all the people that have passed away before us. If you're not familiar with Catholic theology, we believe, and this is based on 2 Maccabees, a book that's in the Catholic, Orthodox, and original Jewish Bible, but not in the Protestant Bible. There's a couple of quotes there that we should pray for the dead. And so we believe that saints and anyone who's died, who's not in hell, either in purgatory where they're being cleaned of their sins, or those in heaven, can intercede in our behalf. So they can pray for us. And of course, people are going to say, well, why can't I pray to God directly? Well, of course you can. But St. Paul says in Corinthians that we should ask others to pray for us. And there's no reason we can't ask the dead to pray for us too, which I know sounds weird. If you want a greater elaboration on this by me, listen to Confessions of an Obese Child on the Cancer, I think it's the Cancer Hospital, where I go off on a little Catholic theology tangent. But today is All Saints Day. It's the beginning of No Shave November, which I've tried a few times, but I have dry skin, and so I get dandruffy beard after a week or two in most occasions, so I don't really do it. I recently published a Confessions on Halloween, my experiences with Halloween as an overweight binge eating child, so if you want to check that on Confessions. And of course, Kate's apothecary, she hasn't done a Mindfulness Monday in a couple of weeks, but her frankincense is her last essential oil pod, and it's doing very well, so I definitely go listen to that. So today we're going to talk about just some easy, actionable steps to optimize your cardio workouts, and these are all really easy. Now, I know the majority of my listeners are female, or they're women, which I guess if you're female, you're a woman. And so I'm going to make this non-weight specific or lifting weight specific, even though women should be lifting weights. We should all be lifting weights on occasion. So this is going to be more just practical things you can do while you're doing cardio. So let's begin. All right, we just went some like Robert Johnson blues from the Crossroads when he made a deal with the devil on that one. So these are in no particular order. Number one, not increasing the resistance on your elliptical and bicycle machines. This is very crucial, guys. Now, as you know, especially if you listen to Confessions, I have been working out on ellipticals and gyms for 27 years straight. So a lot of these are just my observations that I've seen. One of the biggest errors that people make is that they'll get on the elliptical and they'll get on or the bike and they'll put it like on one resistance or whatever when you turn it on is, whatever that resistance is. And they'll just do that speed. That's a big mistake for a couple reasons. One, your body gets used to that workout and it gets really easy. So even though you're going really fast on the one resistance, it's not really a workout. Your heart's going to adapt to it. And even though you feel like you're getting a good workout because you're sweating a lot, it's not. You're not optimizing it. So what you need to do is increase the resistance. And I'm not saying go up to like 18 where you're moving on the elliptical like it's molasses, but each day increase the resistance because the harder it is, the more calories you're going to burn, which is the whole reason you're on the elliptical in the first place. So on the first day, maybe start out on the one and after, depending, let's say you do a 20-minute workout on the elliptical, 30-minute. So just do 5-minute intervals. So go to maybe a 4 on the resistance for after the first 5 minutes and then maybe get to an 8 to the point where you're heavy breathing, and then eventually work your way up to 20. So when you're jumping on there, you're starting at 15, and after 5 minutes of warming up, you're already at 20. And I think a lot of people don't do this because I think there's like a certain peer pressure when you're at the gym where you think, oh my God, that person's moving so fast, their legs, oh my God, they're like Speedy Gonzalez or the Coyote or whatever, or the Roadrunner. And it's not about that. It's about how difficult you're working out. So increase the resistance. Even though your legs are moving slower, the workout is much better. All right, number two way to optimize your cardio workouts is using the incline, is increasing the incline when you're either walking, running, or on the elliptical, but not so much on the elliptical, but this is more when you are walking or running on a treadmill. This is another mistake that we make, is that we just get on the treadmill and we're walking and we just walk straight. And again, this has to do with optimizing your workout. Just by increasing it 2 degrees, 3 degrees. I'm not telling you to increase it 10 degrees where you're almost like grappling on a cliff. I'm just saying go 2 degrees. It increases the amount of calories that you burn by about 10 to 20%. And that's minimal estimation. Sorry, I have a little runny nose and I got a little sinus issues going on, a little allergy. That's why I'm wiping my nose. And so just a little thing. Now, at the beginning, it might be a little difficult. And again, you're going to be panting a little, and you're definitely going to feel it in your calves. But again, the reason you're at the gym is to get a workout. It's not to look good or to barely break a sweat. You got to get into it. You got to get into it. And one of the ways you can get into it is raising the incline. When you're running, what I like to do is start with an incline, like get up to like 2 degrees at the beginning when you're warming up, because you're going to be slow. Now, everybody's different, like when they run. I don't run that often. I mean, I run like every 2 weeks now. But some people are quick starts. Like if they did three miles, their first mile would be their fastest, and then their other two would be slower. Other people start slow, and then their last mile is their fastest. So you kind of have to know who you are. But if you're a slow starter, start the incline at 2 degrees, and then after you run for like a mile, then lower it. So when you're getting later on the faster part of your workout, you can feel like you're running faster because you're lowering the incline. So you've already gotten the benefit of having the incline higher. Now, if you really love running and you really want a good workout, keep the incline up or even increase it even more as you get faster. But my point is, either for running or for walking, increase the incline. Certainly if you're walking. All right, number three, this is a quick one. If you are walking on the elliptical, move your arms and legs. We used to call this the New York waltz or the speed waltz. A lot of people will grab the sides of the treadmill when they're walking, or they'll grab onto the handles in front of them. The problem with this is that you're not utilizing the upper part of your body. And this can be applied to certain ellipticals that have the upper arm levers where you can be moving them back and forth. Some don't. The older ones don't, and it's only lower body, but most of them have an upper body one. So this really applies to both, where you need to be incorporating the upper body, because again, your upper body is getting worked up, but it's also you're burning more calories because you're using the entirety of your body. So this is connected to the one I just mentioned, number two. So if you're inclining on the treadmill, move your arms and legs like you're doing the New York waltz, like you're doing the speed walk, and you're incorporating your arms and legs. Don't hold on to the sides. All right, number four, stop watching TV. Yes, I know this is tempting. You want to watch Jeopardy, or you want to watch whatever's on TNT, or Home Shopping, or Bravo, whatever you're watching. I sometimes do it because either Jeopardy's on or soccer's on, Fox Soccer. But as a whole, tons of studies show this. If you're watching TV when you're working out on the elliptical treadmill, whatever you are, you're not going to be focused as much on working out, and you're going to be naturally going slower because you're getting in to whatever you're watching and you're naturally going to slow down. So what I like to do is I have certain playlists on my Google Play, and I turn those on and I turn off the screen. I put a towel over the screen. And boom, I am off. And I just stare out. I find a focal point in front of me, some dot or some lever or some doorknob in the distance. And boom, just get into the music. We all know what it's like to get into the music when you're working out. You can get into that boom, 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 boom. It reminds me of Good Will Hunting, where Will goes and sees that closet gay therapist. And he goes, yeah, sometimes I go to get to the gay bars and I hear the beat, boom, boom, boom. And the old psychologist is like, yeah, 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 yeah. And he's like, has anyone told you that you're queer? And the guy's like, well, I'm not queer. And it was, I know like every scene in Good Will Hunting, that's my favorite movie of all time. But you get into the beat, you know, boom, boom, boom. And so you don't, you forget about the television and your workout will be 40% better. And you're sweating, especially if you start increasing the resistance. Just focus on the music, get a playlist that you like. Like I like mid-tempo pop. Some people like rap. Whatever works for you, man. It's classic rock, like some Zeppelin, get some like Immigrant Song or Rock and Roll by Zeppelin or Live Wire or Shout at the Devil by Motley Crue, whatever you want. You know, just whatever gets you going. So you turn off the TV, get a better workout. All right. The number five way to optimize your cardio workouts is get an accountability partner. Now, this needs some nuance because if you do work out with friends, lots of times, especially ladies, they tend to talk amongst themselves too much, which then gets in the way of working out. So when I mean accountability partner, someone that you don't necessarily have to go to the gym with them, but that somebody knows that you're working out, somebody knows you're trying to get in better shape or lose weight or trying to eat better. So someone that is going to keep you accountable to whatever your goal is. You see this kind of like an AA. And I'm just on a sneeze run that you can't tell right now because I'm pausing this. I'm like sneezing away badly. But somebody just knows what's going on. Now, if you want them to go in the gym with you, what I would do is just have them adopt the same principles you have. Like, we're not going to watch TV. We're not going to walk. I'm sorry, we're not going to talk. We're just going to listen to music and jam out. We can be right next to each other on the treadmill or on the elliptical or the bike. Let's just focus and jam out to some death metal or whatever you like to listen to, some Coolio. And that way, the studies are very pretty clear on this, that if there's more people involved in your weight loss, you're going to do better. This is why CrossFit's so popular in all these gyms, because it's like a gigantic community where you're all helping each other out. So definitely try to implement that if you have a friend who has similar needs as you. All right, the fifth thing you can do to work out better is workout fasting. I've talked about this in the fasting episode. There's a lot of studies showing that we work out better when we're fasting. And now I've recommended to you guys that the best fasting window is when you're eating from about 1 p.m. to 8 p.m., which means you would have to work out ideally around 10, 11, 12 a.m., which is hard for most people because we work, right? So I think this is more applying to working out in the morning. If you can choose when to work out, morning or in the evening, morning is better. And there's a couple of reasons. One, if we're working out when we're fasting, we have more growth hormone, we have more testosterone, we have more of those adaptive hormones that we can crank out. Adrenaline and so forth, cortisol when we're working out. And of course, adrenaline and cortisol are problematic if we're releasing it all the time, but not when we're working out. We actually do release cortisol when we're working out. It's actually good. But the other reason is if you are working out when you're fasting is that you don't have to worry about blood being shunted to your intestines to help break down food. All the blood can be shunted straight to your muscles, straight to your muscles. And also you get the nice ancillary benefit of, since you've been fasting, even if you're daily fasting or 24 or whatever, you already exhausted most of your glucose reserves in your liver, and so you'll probably be burning fat. So it's a triple benefit. So if you can, work out in the morning, but I'm not saying wake up at 4:30 in the morning and cut into your sleep to get the workout. That's a big mistake. So if you can't do it in the morning, and again, your workouts don't need to be long. If you can't, you don't want to do it too early in the morning, but if you can't knock it out like at 6, 7 a.m. before you go to work, then do it later in the afternoon. But on the weekends or other times like that, try to work out while you're fasting. All right, the seventh way you can increase your or optimize your performance when you're doing cardio is start incorporating sprinting. I've mentioned this in a previous podcast. This is very big in the paleo world, sprinting, going back to how our ancestors did it. Our ancestors weren't doing chronic cardio where they were jogging at a leisurely pace for 10 miles. They really didn't do that. What they did was they walked a lot and then they would sprint when they needed to sprint. So it's good to incorporate a sprint about every 10 days. And really all you need to do is, and this could be for any kind of condition that you're in, if you're really in shape or you're not in shape. And it really depends if you're trying to get more of the anaerobic or aerobic benefit of it. But I would say as in general, use a track or just a sidewalk, preferably not on asphalt because it's bad for your knees. So maybe on grass, wherever you can, and just sprint as hard as you can for about 20 seconds. Just sprint as hard as you can. It doesn't have to be like Carl Lewis, Usain Bolt fast. So just as fast as you can go for your age and your weight and so forth, and then rest for about 40 seconds and then do it again and do just 7 of those intervals. Because what fasting does is it releases those adaptive hormones that we're not necessarily getting when we're doing the walking and the hiking and the low-level cardio. It shocks the body and releases hormones that, in the long run, are highly beneficial to our health. So sprinting, only do about 10 times, once every 10 days or so, and that's all you really need to do. And definitely get off the chronic cardio, especially if you're doing high intensity chronic cardio. You got to get off of that. All right, the 8th way you can optimize your working out, your cardio working out, is to try to keep your heart rate under 180 minus your age. I've mentioned this in a previous podcast as well. This again, I can't remember the name of this this theory, but they've done enough research on this, and this is connected to the chronic cardio. It's like when you're doing chronic cardio and you're really maxing your body out, trying to do marathons or 7-minute miles for 7 miles or whatever it is, you're putting your body in chronic inflammation. The studies are showing this is actually more deleterious to your health than doing lower level cardio. And also, so if you do 180 minus your age, you stay in that fat burning mode. So as the name would suggest, figure out what your age is. Like mine's 43, and you subtract that by 180. So my heart rate, if I want to keep it really in fat burning mode, would be 137 or less. And while you can either wear one of those heart rate monitors, the Fitbits, there's a lot of things that keep your pulse going. You can measure your pulse while you're working out. And so you want to try to keep it, like in my example, around the mid 130s. That's optimal. That's optimal. Doesn't mean if I go to 143, I'm going to drop dead or I don't get any benefits. It's just the optimal range is to stay in that mode. And once you notice you start doing it, even though the workout might not be as intense and you're not sweating as much, is that you'll notice that you'll do a longer distance and have a better workout eventually while your heart is staying lower. So let's say if you do the resistance, and one of the measurements for resistance is watts on a lot of these ellipticals. And so let's say previously, when you were around 135 beats a minute, your wattage, you know, the amount of resistance you do to push your legs is like 200 or whatever. Let's say it's 80. Too many numbers. Let's say it's 80. And you'll notice that when you're doing 80, your pulse is around 136 at the beginning. But let's say after a month or two of doing this and doing 180 minus your age, you'll notice that you're starting to do 120 on your watts, on the amount of power you're doing while you're ellipticizing. But your heart rate is still staying in the mid 130s. And so that's the benefit of it, is that your heart gets smarter and your cardiac output's better. And in the long run, it's better for you to try this. So just figure out what 180 minus your age is. So if you're 30 years old, it'd be 150. And try to keep it around there. And then occasionally, of course, a sprint. All right, the 9th and final thing you need to do to optimize your workout has nothing to do with working out. It's steaming. Steaming. It is the best. Now, hopefully you belong to a gym that has a steam room. If you don't, go join one. Immediately. Steaming is awesome. It is the best. So you might have a gym that has a sauna. Okay, so sauna is all right. I don't really get much sweat out of a sauna. Some of the old men that are steaming next to me all naked and all shriveled up, you know, they give me advice. They say that if you go into the steam room first and then into the sauna, you start sweating more in the sauna. But if I go into the sauna cold, without sweating or after a workout, I could be in there 30 minutes and not sweat at all. It's like a complete waste of time, or at least I feel it's a waste of time. So I just go to the steam room. The main benefit of the steam room is a couple. One, we like to shock the body, right? Move the body, shock the body. And definitely putting your body in extreme heat is shocking the body. So again, you're getting this release of hormones that are very beneficial for you. It's like a hormesis. So even though it's kind of like radiation, so even though a little of it is bad for you, your body is like, the heart rate's increasing and you're releasing cortisol and stress and so forth. But after you leave, all these benefits come out of it. And the other thing is that you are detoxifying. So we need to get toxins out of the body that we accumulate throughout the day, either what we absorb through the skin or what we eat. And there's only so many ways this can come out. So through the pores, through sweating, for example, or through urine. or through feces, but the steaming is great because, again, you sweat and you're sweating out toxins. And I've mentioned that old Chinese proverb that said, if you're not sweating, you're dying, or something similar to that. And so you should really try to steam. Now, if you've ran really hard, or you did some sprints or whatever you're doing in 98 degree heat, and you've already sweated and your clothes are drenched, then you don't necessarily need to go to the steam room for 20 minutes because you've already sweated and you've already gotten a lot of the toxins out. This is more for people who either don't work up a sweat or they lift all day and they don't sweat at all. You got to go in there. I'd go in there for two blasts, maybe 10 to 15 minutes is all you need. And then the other great biohack is, as soon as you get out, like when I get out of the steam room, I got to like lean against the wall because I'm like drained and I might pass out. And then what I do is I put the cold shower on. If I go into a hot or medium shower after I steam, I'm going to come out and dry off and I'll be sweating. So I put the cold water in it so it doesn't feel as cold because my body is so overheated. But cold showers in general is another great biohack that we've mentioned before. Cryotherapy is very big now, all the cryotherapy spas that you can go to and those freezing chambers. But in general, ice baths, cold showers are great. We want to either get the body really hot or really cold. So try to go to a gym that has that if you have that option. All right, so those are the nine. Let's review. Increase your resistance. Increase your incline. Stop holding onto the rails and do the New York waltz. That's number three. Number four, stop watching TV. Number five, have an accountability partner. Number six, work out while you're fasting or in the morning. Number seven, incorporate sprinting. Number eight, keeping your heart rate under 180 minus your age. And number nine, or NIF, is steam it up, followed by a cold shower. Yes. So try to implement those. I guarantee you that they're all very easy to do. And again, with the resistance and some of the other ones, just nice and slow, work your way into it. Sprinting, don't go out and try to run as hard as you can tomorrow, but just do what you can. And you will see that your cardiovascular workouts will definitely be optimized by doing this. So as always, guys, go post a review on the three podcasts. Visit me on Facebook. I had somebody post a great review on my on our Naturopathic Earth Facebook page. We appreciate that. I love it when people reach out to me organically on social media. Definitely follow me on Twitter. I try to post funny tweets. I'm at Naturopath Earth. So follow me there. Post a review for MP Radio, Kate's Apothecary Confessions, or contact us and ask us what topic you'd like for us to cover. Because if it's up to me, I'd go all hardcore conspiracy theories, medical conspiracy theories. But some of you guys might not be interested in that. So until next time, guys, happy All Saints Day. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.